Stand and sing the chorus this morning. Oh, yes, he knew me. Yet he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. I'm so for that this morning. Amen. It's good to be in church. God bless you. It's good to have you all here. This is 675 in your hymn book. thankful for Calvary. Amen. Years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not my Lord was crucified, and knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Yes, His mercy there was great, and grace was free, and Paul. Shake hands with your neighbor this morning. Calvary this morning. Amen. Amen. God bless you richly. Got a testimony that we want to share this morning. On Friday afternoon, they had rushed Brother Kenneth Wright's niece
Heidi Kofod via ambulance from the hospital she was in Wednesday when we prayed for her, to the ICU at Norton's Children's Hospital. And after prayer, the nurse there came in and said she was doing great. And by Friday evening, they'd taken her oxygen off for the first time since Wednesday, and they released her from the hospital yesterday. So I want to praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. And we've got several prayer requests we want to bring before the Lord this morning. An unspoken prayer request for the Sargent family, and also their dog has an injured back, so we want to remember that. You say, does God care about an animal? Well, he raised a little dead fish one time, and he healed a possum, so I believe he does. And the Bible said he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, so how much more does he care about you and I? And Brother Jeremy and Sister Becky, they're traveling. So I want to remember them for traveling mercies. Also, Brother Bill and Sister Julie Hamby, want to remember them in prayer for traveling mercies. Brother Trevor and his family are traveling on vacation. And also, he's preaching for Brother David Sanger this morning. So thank you to all of our visitors for making up for those that are traveling. And also, want to remember Brother Chris, or our little Christopher Hawansky. He's not feeling well. And Sister Patty Hansel, she's also not feeling well. Want to continue to remember her in prayer. And Sister Karen Byerly's mom is undergoing another round of chemo and dealing with infections, so we want to lift her up before the Lord. And also, Brother Kyle requested prayer for a friend of his son who's around 7 months old and was diagnosed with a rare disease that leaves him with no immune system. So we want to remember that little child this morning. And also, Brother Layton's nephew, Joel Lunsford from Prescott, Arizona, needs prayer for healing. His heart is only working at 17%, and he's having serious problems with his kidneys. So we want to remember these in prayer. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord this morning with an uplifted hand? I don't know if Brother Furman did it or not, but we also have another visitor this morning, Brother David Hoover. They left us for 3.5 weeks on vacation, so I'm asking him if he'd come and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests. Good to have the Hoovers back with us, back home. Amen. Brother Hoover keeps trying to get the Lord to call him out west, but I believe the Lord's called him right where he's supposed to be.
It's good to be home. Good to be where I belong, in the house of the Lord, amongst the saints. Amen. Let's bow our heads and talk to him. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so thankful to be able to come into the sanctuary again amongst believers of the truth, be able to lift up our hands and our hearts in praise, to hear the music begin, Lord, and to know, Lord, that your presence is being invited into this building, Lord. But, Lord, it's not just this building, but it's these buildings, Lord, that these human tabernacles of flesh, we invite your presence in this morning, Lord. We invite you, Lord, to just come in anew and renew yourself in us. Refresh us, Lord, dear Jesus. Heavenly Father, we just look here upon the purchase of your blood, and we hear these requests. But before we had a request, Lord, we had a thanks this morning. God, that's just like you. Lord, to give us a reason to praise you. A reason to be able to have faith when we approach you and believe, Lord, that each of these requests, Lord, you know all about it. You knew about it before we ever voiced it, but you ask us to bring our supplications and our needs and our cares to you. And so we do that this morning, Father. We bring it to you and we lay it at your feet because you're the only one that's capable, Lord. There's not a man in this building that can heal. There's not a man in this building that can save. But Lord, there is one here. The sweet Holy Spirit, he can still heal, he can still save, he can still fill with the Holy Ghost. He can still anoint people to preach his gospel and to spread his word. We thank you for it, Father, and we just give you praise and glory for each of these things that you're doing, each of these opportunities, Lord, that we see you moving. Lord, you know every request. I can't remember them all, but Lamb of God, you know all about them. And Lord, you've already paid the price. We just reach out by faith today and we claim it and we write the check, knowing, Lord, dear Jesus, that the bank of heaven is open and there's plenty of funds on deposit there. We just thank you for these things. We ask that you would be in this service. Just use your servant this morning, Lord, however you see fit. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Draw us close to you. Correct us if we need correcting, Lord. Encourage us if we need lifting up. Lord, fill us if we're empty. Have your way and your will in our service this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning once again, church. We're going to be reading Psalm, the 45th chapter. That's Psalms 4 or 5 this morning. Well, we've had showers outside, so I came this morning, and I hope you did, expecting showers of blessings inside. Amen. Appreciate that prayer. My, it's a well of living water that never runs dry.
Amen.
All right, Psalms 45. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and with thy majesty. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia, out of the ivory palaces, whereby they may be glad.
King's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him.
And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor.
The king's daughter is all glorious within, her clothes is of wrought gold.
She shall be brought unto the king in the raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought on.
With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. God bless you, saints. Please be seated.
The brothers would please come at this time. 185 in your hymn book. If you don't know it, you glad the Lord brought you out this morning? Amen. Amen. Be some scary places we would be this morning if it wasn't for God delivering us. Amen.
I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. I've been happy since the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Oh, I'm so glad. voice I've been shouting since the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Oh, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Yes, I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. Aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? Aren't you glad that the Lord brought you out? If it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out.
I don't know if we can sit and sing this next song, so we might need to stand and sing this chorus.
I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Yes, I'll claim His promise, He will supply. We'll walk together, my sweet Lord and I. I'm going stand for Jesus and let the world go by. Yes, I'll stand for Jesus and let the world go by. I'll claim His promise, He will supply. Oh, we'll walk.
Testimony this morning. Amen. God bless you richly. While we're standing, turn with me, if you would, into Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And want to begin with verse 27. We've been looking at this thought of identified. And we want to pick that up again. We was looking a few weeks ago at the thought of Enoch and how that we are identified. There will be a group in this age that can completely identify with Enoch, that he walked with God and he was not, the Bible said, he didn't taste of death. And so we found that we were identified there with Enoch. And we want to look a little further into the scripture this morning and find some other places that were identified. Brother Bram said, you should be able to read your name in. When we look into the scriptures, you should be able to read yourself in there. Not just make it for something that took place 4,000, 6,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, but we should be able to read it ourselves into these promises as well. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 27, just to look at the genealogy a little bit going through here from Enoch. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Let's just bow our heads together this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for your mercy to us. And Lord, I just appreciate all that you do for us. Lord, we can stand here all morning and just thank you and go down the list of things that you've done, that even that we can remember and still not have enough time, Lord. And then when we begin to think of the things that you do in the unseen, where we aren't even aware, how many times on the roads did you protect us? Or as a child, did you protect us when we didn't even know about it, Lord? But your unseen hand was guiding us and leading us, Lord. And we thank you for that continual guiding in our life. Lord, how we need it, how we need you, Lord. We're incapable on our own, but Lord, we just ask that you'd come by again this morning and just, Lord, deal with hearts. Lord, may this not just be a gathering of people just for the sake of a gathering or just as a tradition or a ritual, but Lord, may it be something that we've come this morning with expectations, with a need. Lord, looking to you for what you would have for us. Lord, I'm so incapable this morning to be able to provide help to a group of people, but Lord, your prophet taught us that if we can just get ourselves out of the way, then that you can come and you can do something. So Lord, we just pray that, Lord, you would help me to get all of Nathan Bryan out of the way, my personality, my opinions, my thoughts. But Lord, may we just look into the Word this morning. And Lord, may you speak to us through the quotes, through the scriptures, through whatever you'd place on my heart, Lord. I just ask that you'd be with us. We believe that you can move in a supernatural way like that. And we're just depending on you this morning. We love you, Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. And you can be seated this morning. Amen. There's something about timing, and I didn't study this and preach on this because of the weather we had over the weekend, but it sure did feel like we might have to build an ark and get out of here for a while there. Dad, they were having some flooding in their yard yesterday, and he said he thought he might see Noah just floating right by. It was so bad, but we appreciate the Lord protecting us through the weather and through the storms, not only in the natural, but also spiritually and emotionally, whatever you're going through, he can ride you right through the storms of life. And we want to look at this morning and on this thought of being identified. And I recognize that in one sense of the word, we don't want to be completely identified with Noah, because Brother Ben teaches us that Enoch typed the bride, but that Noah typed the foolish virgins that would go through the tribulation, where the bride won't go through the tribulation. God has already, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he took her judgment upon himself, so she has no need to be judged. I'm thankful of that this morning, because in myself, I was worthy of hell, I was worthy of death, I was worthy of the cross, but he came and he took that cost, that price for me. Amen. He took my cross, he took my shame, he took my sins upon him, and so now the bride does not have to be judged, but the foolish virgin will go through the tribulation for judgment. So we don't want to completely type ourselves with Noah in that sense of the word, but yet there are many aspects of Noah's life that a true believer will absolutely want to follow right along and be a type with. Brother Branham said it in many different places. He said, you know, if I'm an American, I'm identified with all of her shame and all of her glory. He said, I'm identified with Patrick Henry when he said, give me liberty or give me death. I'm identified with George Washington when he crossed the Delaware, and all of these different types that he gave us American history that he was identified with. And then he takes us back into the scriptures. He said, so then if I'm a Christian, I have to be identified. I was there with Noah. I was there with Moses. I was there with all these. I was there identified at Calvary when Jesus Christ paid the price. So we want to look into this morning. The reason Lamech, Noah's father, names him Noah and says this is the reason his name meant rest. And so Noah was going to, he believed, to give them a rest. And the times that they lived were very dark, just like the age that we live in. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 said, it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. So the Bible makes a distinction here that there was something different between these sons of God and the daughters of men. Historians and different ones have looked at it. Josephus thought that it was angels coming down and pressing themselves into human flesh, but yet we recognize it's not scriptural to do that. So we had a prophet in this age come, and Brother Branham didn't come and throw away the Bible. He didn't even come and throw away what Luther and Wesley and different one said, but what he said he was called to do was to tie up the loose ends. He said that's what the ministry in this last age would do, would be that he could look down and he could see where Calvin went with the scripture. He said, I'm Calvin. He said, where the different ones, where's Moody and Sankey and all those. He said, I'm Nazarene as long as Nazarene goes with the scripture. I'm Pentecostal as long as Pentecostal goes with the scripture. So what a prophet of God was sent in this age to do was not to throw away everything that had been down through history, but to look into it by the word, by a scriptural voice, and tie together and take out portions of that was the truth. You know, today people look at that and they see where he referred to different men. They say, well, they begin to say, well, he copied this one, he copied that one. No, he was supposed to come and he was supposed to bring out the truths that those men had brought and show to us what was true, and the rest he just left alone. I do the same thing when I go and I begin to look at something. I know some people, I was talking to a brother the other day, some people are absolutely scared to death to read anything that would be written by a nominal man or by one of the church age messengers that was down in another age or whatever it would be, or some of these men that Brother Ben refers to, Finney, Sinkey, Calvin, Knox, the different ones. I'm not scared to read those things, but when I read it, I look at it through a filter of what was brought in our age, and if it confirms what the prophet said, I say amen. Amen. If it's contrary to what the prophet said, I just leave it alone. I just don't even worry about it. Just like Brother Bram said, eating apple pie. He said, you just spit out the seeds, or cherry pie, whichever. You just spit out a seed when you go along to it. You don't throw out the whole pie. So there were many truths that Luther had. There were many truths that Wesley had, that different men had. But it took a prophet of God to come along and go through. Now, what they had for their age was wonderful because truth hadn't been restored back yet. They lived and they preached and all the light that they saw, but we're held accountable for a higher standard in our day because more has been revealed. So when we begin to look at these things, I'm going to read some statements from different historians and different Alfred Edersheim, a historian who was a converted Jew, converted to Christianity. And you can go, if you got the table, the old version on your computer, and you go into the list of books, there's books by him. There's books by Fox's Book of the Martyrs, and very different ones that Brother Branham refers to or reads from. And some of these things, we'll look at some of the commentary. Matthew Henry and different ones, and we'll look at some of the Bible handbooks. And don't get scared, though. I'm just doing these things to show you that this, some of these things that we believe aren't just something that Brother Branham made up, but they're things that other men of God had looked into the Word, and they saw that this was absolutely the scriptural way. And a prophet of God comes along vindicated, not just because he said he was a prophet, but absolutely vindicated, as we have a photographic proof of. We'll look at Noah this morning, and Brother Branham makes the statement, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but you just bear with me. He makes the statement several times. He said, in three kinds of believers, he says it this way. He said, look at yourself and see if you had lived in the days of Noah, which of these three groups would you have been identified with? He said, look into the mirror of the word, and then with your present state and your present condition, he said, where would you identify? He said, because we have the same thing before us today. Now, if we couldn't stand and recognize that Noah was a prophet. You have people come along today and oh my, they can look into the Bible and they can believe David and his sling and Jonah and the whale. But when you talk about what God did in this age, it's too much for them. It's too supernatural. They can't handle it. But if they had been in those days, they wouldn't have been able to handle it either, because we had more vindication and more scientific proof of what God did in this age than any other age. So to stand in this age and say, I can't believe, but I would have believed in Moses' day, you're a liar. To stand and say, I don't believe in this age, but I would have believed in Noah's day, you're a liar. They had less scientific proof. They had less vindication.
How accountable are we today when the Son of Man ministry coming our way? Just like as I heard Brother Branham say yesterday on a quote, he said, let's just imagine, I'm getting ahead of myself again, Brother Layton, but we'll maybe look at it in a few weeks. He said, let's just imagine as Elohim came by the tent and he said he sat and he said he kind of leaned his chair back towards the tent behind him. And he said, why did Sarah laugh? We had the same thing in this age. Now, the problem is some people take that and they try to make the flesh of Brother Branham Elohim, but he never did. He said that would make him Antichrist. But what was it? He said it was the same ministry in every way except the physical body. Amen. He didn't die for my sins. He didn't save me. But what a greater miracle it was that God could anoint a humble Kentuckian with the same gift and same anointing that he came and used in a sinless body of his own. Amen, that he would anoint a man. Brother Branham says over and over and over and over again, you go and search it, a sinner saved by grace, that he could come and anoint a man that was a man of like passions. You say, I don't believe that. The Bible said Elijah was a man of like passions. Amen, anoint a man like that to do the same thing that he did back there with Abraham. My, what a testimony that we have in this age. We'll be held accountable for so much in this age because of what we've seen. Amen. So the Bible makes this distinction between the sons of God and the daughters of men. Now, different historians, Josephus and different ones, they looked at it and they scratched their heads and they tried to look and to see what it was. As we've looked at it over the last few weeks through the creation and through Adam and Eve and through the fall and what that produced and what that meant and how that it wasn't just an apple, because if it did, then the punishment didn't match the crime and the continuity of the scripture is broken. But yet when we begin to look at it and we found out what it was, we found out that Cain had a different daddy than Abel had. And so now the sons of God see these daughters of men and they take unto them wives which all they chose. Now, this isn't a quote of Brother Branham. This is Halley's Bible Handbook. It's a very famous Bible commentary that you can kind of read along, and it gives a breakdown of the different chapters and books of the Bible. And Halley says in page 96 of his handbook, the sons of God were leaders in Sethite families who intermarried with godless descendants of Cain. Oh, so close. Amen. He's what he's saying is the truth, but he doesn't understand why. Amen. He's not preaching serpent seed to us, but yet he recognizes there's a distinction between Cain's descendants and Seth's descendants, and that this intermingling of this godless generation with this godly generation produced the atmosphere of the age of Noah, that it was just a perverse thing. The Bible said that the thoughts of men were constantly on wickedness, and it was because where you'd had this generation pure coming down from Adam of Seth's lineage, now they look and they say, oh my, look at this lineage of Cain over here, how beautiful and how fair. And they intermingled and mixed the seed again. And even a historian and a commentator can look and see what it was. It was a godless generation mixing with a godly generation. Brother Branham said it this way. He said, don't marry amongst unbelievers. He said in one place, he said, for no reason should a believer marry an unbeliever. Now, I know people come up with all kinds of excuses. Well, I love her, or well, I should, or well, I'm obligated. He said, for no reason should a believer marry an unbeliever. He said, that's what Ahab did. Ahab went in and married Jezebel, and he said, and it brought trouble, and he said, and it'll bring trouble to your home. Amen. Now, we think of that as some, you know, somebody out on the street or some denominational person. But when it comes to mixed marrying, it comes right down into the message a little closer than that, to where now we see homes being divided because one member of the family wants to go to this church and one member wants to go to that church. And one sees the message this way and one sees the message that way. You young people that are looking, you better look for more than a pretty set of eyes. Right. Or you'll have divorce papers in your future. Amen. When the pretty eyes are droopy, and when the wrinkles, you know, that beautiful skin is wrinkled and the hair is falling out or turning white and the attraction's not there anymore, there has to be something more than just a chemical attraction of, oh, he's so cute, or oh, she's so beautiful. But you have to have a tie post that you can come back to, that you can agree on the word, and you can agree on how to raise your children, and you can agree even on finances in this age. You've got to agree on these things and agree on the message, on what we believe, because in this age there's 500 different interpretations of what the message was. Amen. So you better be able to go back to the original and see, look, is this what you believe? Is this your absolute, or is brother so-and-so your absolute, or is somebody's opinion, or your grandmammy's opinion, or the way your parents raised you, is that your absolute, or is your own opinion your absolute, or your own imagination of, well, I think it'll be this way, and I think this is okay. No, you go back to the Word. And then when you can go back to the Word in a relationship, then whatever it is, when a question presents itself, that doesn't mean that life is easy. Amen. You know, for us brothers that God gave us the right one, you know, that doesn't mean that marriage is just easy and that family life is easy. There's still trials and there's still troubles. And Brother Branham said, that's when disappointments come. He said, that's when you've got to be so in love that you understand one another. And let me tell you, if you don't start off life that way, then, you know, it's not just going to magically happen somewhere along the line, but you've got to come under the direction of the Word of God. Brother Ben said, a man should pray earnestly or he could ruin his entire life. I don't care what anybody else says. That's my tie post. Amen. A man should pray earnestly for he could ruin his entire life. Amen. Put it before the Lord. Make it a scriptural thing. Make your family a scriptural home. When it comes for decisions for the family, don't just go off of, well, this is how my mommy did it. And then the other spouse says, well, my mommy did it that way. Go back to the Word. Amen. That's the dissolver of doubts. Amen. That's the answer for every question that the devil has. Brother Bram said, we have the answer to the devil's question. Amen. It's not your opinion. It's the Word of God. Amen. So when we can come back, whatever the question is, whatever the trial is, if we have a tie post that we can come back and agree on, then we can get somewhere. But when you have two different tie posts and, well, you know, this one, this is their tie post, but this one over here, their tie post is the pastor, or their tie post is somebody's opinion, or their tie post is some spiritual person in the message, you're never going to be on the same page. But when you have the same absolute, then you can go forward. Amen. So these intermingled, they intermarried, they were unequally yoked together, and it got into such a place where they had so mixed that it was just total perverseness and total wickedness. There was a time when man began to call on God and man walked with God, but now their thoughts weren't even on God at all. Matthew Henry says, the posterity of Seth intermingled themselves with the excommunicated race of Cain. Alfred Edersheim says it this way: the differences between the Sethites and the Canaanites, and the Cainites rather, became obliterated by intermarriages. There was a time when Seth, his walk and Cain's walk were so totally different, but after hundreds of years, you know, Seth worshiped his way. He had a way that was ordained of God by revelation. Abel had come and made a sacrifice of blood, a lamb sacrifice. Here comes Cain out with his fruit, and he lays it out and makes a sacrifice. Now, if it was an apple, Cain's sacrifice would have been the right way, but instead God rejects his sacrifice, but he accepts the bloody lamb, because that's what it was coming out of the Garden of Eden. In the first place, he slayed a lamb as an atonement to show that because sin came by the blood, that it had to be forgiven by the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And they walk out there together. Now Seth's generation goes one way, and they're tent dwellers, and they're just men of flocks and fields and stuff. And here comes Cain's generation, shrewd, and they begin to get into technology and things like that. And they begin to be developers and inventors and creators of things. And they begin to go down their path. They're worshiping their way. Now Abel's group is worshiping his way. But somewhere along the line, as we get closer and closer to Noah, they begin to intermarry. And this one looks over and says, well, you know, she doesn't go to the same church that I do, but she's so pretty. There's none of these Sethites that are as beautiful. I mean, look at her eyes. She's got it all, as Brother Bram would say, manicured up. You know, he's talking about mascara, but her mascara is just right, and her fingernails are so pretty, and oh my, you know, she does show a little bit too much flesh, but you know, there's something about it that it just draws me into it. And now they begin to go this direction, and instead of staying true to God, they begin to follow another religion, because why? They were letting a woman lead them around by the nose. Well, praise the Lord.
Amen, brother.
Leading them this way and leading them that way. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. They thought, well, she doesn't believe like me, but goodness, my, wouldn't I be the talk of the town? My, to see her coming down the road with, arm in arm with me. And so they begin to intermingle into a spot where now There was no distinction. They worshiped the same, if they worshiped at all, because they had intermingled back and forth and back and forth and perverted the true worship of God. Genesis chapter 6, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, I want to look at what some different commentators say about this, and then I want to look at what the prophet says about it. And he says, his days shall be 120 years. Now, Halley's Bible Handbook again says the 120 years in verse 3 may refer to the time left before the flood or a reduced lifespan after the longevity of those mentioned in chapter 5. Now, before the flood, men were living 700, 800, 900 years old. Methuselah, the oldest man, 969 years, if I remember correctly. Lamech, 777 years. Noah, way up into his 600s or 700s there. And all these men had such an extended lineage that Adam, as we looked at, was actually, I don't know if geographically he was close enough or if they had spread out enough then to where they didn't see each other. But Adam lived long enough to have seen Lamech and only died a few years, 50 or 60 years before Noah died, because all these generations living so long. But now God says, I'm not going to always strive with men. And so he limits the lifespan, but also he puts a limit that I'm going to strive 120 more years with man before the flood. Now, a further space of 120 years, this is from Alfred Edersheim, a further space of 120 years would in mercy be granted them before the final judgments would burst. It was during these 120 years that the long suffering of God waited while the ark was a preparing. Now, you say that's just somebody's opinion. Well, let's bring it down a little further. Brother Branham said in Questions and Answers number 4, 1964, they asked him the question, where do we find where Noah preached for 120 years and built the ark in 120 years? He said, did I answer that? A question or allotted time, a man's allotted time on earth was 120 years because as we just looked at, God said, I won't always strive with man. So he cranks the, now it's back to 70 years, 70. But in the days of Noah and Adam and Seth and these different ones, men were living up into their 700s, 800s, 900s. But now God says, I'm not going to deal almost 1,000 years with an individual. I'm going to take it back to 120 years. Moses living 120 years, different ones in that era living to that age. Now it's even scaled back to where the average is 70 years, 70 is what was promised us. But Brother Bam says, man's allotted time on earth was 120 years, which took Noah the period to build the ark, which was considered a generation in that day. 120 years was a man's allotted time, and he preached, according to Genesis 6:3, he preached to that generation, which was 120 years, Noah did. So here we have commentators, historians, and the prophet all saying the same thing. A generation was 120 years, and God's extended long-suffering allowed them, from the time he comes and tells Noah, build an ark, he allows a generation, 120 years, to go by while Noah is preparing. Genesis chapter 6, verse 4. There were giants in the earth in those days. Where do they come from, I wonder? Brother Branham said that the serpent was a man of worldly wisdom. He said he was a great burly fellow, you know. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, which the same became mighty men, which were men of old renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. This is where we pick up our story, is that Noah is living in a time where it's got down to, and Noah maybe didn't realize it. I don't think Noah, just like the rest of us, I don't think he had a spreadsheet of who was elect and who wasn't elect. He just knew that the times was getting darker and darker, and sin was on the rampage more and more and more continually. You know, I believe just like in the days of Sodom, homosexuality was probably on the increase. You say, oh my, you got a scripture for that, Brother Nathan? Yeah, let's just go ahead and look at it. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. You notice God keeps stressing to Noah, make sure that everything that goes in is male and female. Male and female. Over and over and over. Genesis 5, Genesis 6, Genesis 7. Over and over and over he keeps telling him. Male and female. Two of every kind. Male and female. God didn't just waste his words. He was very specific. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be. A day when the flood came, but they knew it not. Why didn't they know it? A prophet had stood for 120 years and told them it was going to happen. They were without an excuse. God had sent a man with a message, and he had stood there faithfully and preached it for 120 years. And my, here he is. He had a full-time job building an ark, and then Brother Bram said he'd stand in the doorway of the ark, maybe tired and weary from working out in the sun all day building this ark. And he goes out in the door of the ark, and he stands up there on the hillside, and he begins to preach his heart out to anybody that'll listen. And he stands there as a witness in his day, but yet they knew it not until the flood came. He said, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. How many in this day will say, well, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen like this. And sit and hear the same things that we do over and over and over, but blinded to it, blinded to the truth. Faith in Action, 1955, Brother Bram said, you know, the world stood upright before the antediluvian destruction. It wasn't leaning back like this to bring water. He says again, Revelations 4, part 2, 1961, they built the pyramids and the Sphinx and so forth. We could never do that. We couldn't reproduce that. There's no way for us to do it. Only unless we can get an atomic power. Gasoline power and electric power wouldn't lift one of them boulders, wouldn't move it off the ground. And some of them are a city block high up in the air and weighing a billion tons. How'd they get them up there? See, they knowed. And they let that loose. Somebody let one of them atomic bombs fly into the screen of some others back in the days, because as it was in the days of Noah, as it was that kind of civilization, that kind of a smart people, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be. So will it be in the coming of the Son of Man, a repeat of what it was. See, we won't look at it this morning. I'm going to run out of time, I already know. But tonight, with the help of the Lord, we'll look at it again. Come back if you can. We'll pick it up on the rest of the story of Noah. We'll look at how Brother Bam said there was also an earthquake in that day. Brother Bam didn't just say it. There are historians that agree that there was an earthquake in that day, because we'll get a little ahead of ourselves. It said the fathoms of the deep burst forth. What was it? Those tectonic plates began to shift with an earthquake, and the waters began to come up from the ground, and then it began to pour from the sky at the same time. Amen. What was it? The shifting of this atomic bomb going off shifted it out of its cater, and now we have seasons, and you know, it'll be 97 degrees one day and humid, and then it'll be 65 degrees and you're cold the next day. What is it? Because the world is tilted, and we have snow and we have rain. They never talked about snow or rain before the flood. But after the flood, it began to happen. After the flood. So an earthquake and an atomic bomb, and he says a repeat of what it was will be in this age, in the days of the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man. So shall it be. A smart civilization. He says, here not long ago, they dug up a modern waterworks. It was down here in Mexico before the antediluvian flood. You've seen it. It was in the paper, where a modern waterworks, just like we have now, that sunk so far beneath the ground, some atomic something covered it over. She just blew up and went over like that, see. Oh my, an advanced age, a scientific age. And here a humble farmer, he wasn't a shipbuilder. He wasn't a scientist. Brother Bram said he was a humble farmer. And he goes out here and God speaks to him and says, Noah, it's going to rain. Now, he didn't have any scientific proof. He didn't have a recording of God's voice speaking to him. He didn't have a picture to show him the pillar of fire. All he knew was that God said so, and it's going to happen. And he goes out for 120 years in the face of adversity, in the face of unbelief, an unbelieving generation, in the face of perversion and a godless generation that didn't even want to think anything about God. And he says, hey, because of your sins, God is going to destroy the earth. And you better get in the boat if you're interested in getting out of here. They thought he was crazy. They thought he was absolutely crazy. Genesis chapter 6, verse 7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man Who am I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air? For it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Oh, that's where I want to be identified this morning. Amen. In the middle of a perverse generation, in the middle of murders and homosexuality and just every kind of perversion and filthiness that you can think of, men wanting to become women and women wanting to become men, and our insurances and our government supporting that garbage. And you know, when they could be sending that money to something a whole lot better. If they don't have anywhere to send their money to, I'll give them my checking account. They can send as much as they want right there. But just supporting filth and glorifying filth. But it had to be that way, because it had to be a day, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah. It has to be to fulfill Scripture. We look at the news sometimes and we get depressed and we get discouraged. We ought to lift up our hands and say, thank you. Come, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. To recognize the age that we're living in, to recognize that every time you pick up a newspaper, every time you go on Fox News or CNN or whatever your flavor is, every time you go there, you're seeing prophecy being fulfilled.
Amen.
And people still walk away and scratch their head. I heard a man, I was watching a testimony video on YouTube last night of a brother that was sharing some experiences of Brother Branham. And afterwards, his pastor at the time got up and he said, that is so simple for me to believe. He said, the only way you couldn't believe that is if you weren't laying in the tapes. And now the man drinking beer, his wife wearing shorts, her hair cut. Why? It shows what it produces to walk away from the message. And every time he picks up a newspaper, if he'll be honest with himself, he's seeing the very prophecies of the man that he doesn't follow anymore being fulfilled over and over and over. Just a few years ago said, it's so simple. The only way you couldn't see it is if you weren't laying in the tapes. Well, maybe he should lay in the tapes a little more. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's where I want to be found in this perverse generation. In the middle of all the wickedness, in the middle of all the darkness and sin and fanaticism and everything that creeps in, not just around the world, but tries to creep right in around amongst us into the message and into the churches. But yet there was a man standing in that day that God could look down and say, there's one that's found grace in my eyes. There's one. There were so many others that had gone to the left and gone to the right and fallen away in their sins and their intermarrying and their going after the world and going after popularity or riches. But one man found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Lord, let me be identified there.
Amen.
Brother Branham said, if there's just one that goes from Jeffersonville, you be that one. Amen. We ought to be that desperate. If there's one from New Albany, if there's one from Louisville, then they came back around and said, Brother Branham, did you say only one's coming? He said, no, I didn't say that. He said, but if it was, you have to get that desperate. Most of us, we're so nice and humble, we make excuses. Well, you know, Brother Layton, I know he's a good godly man, so if there's just one, I guess I'm just out. You better not have that attitude. You better not have that attitude or you might get left behind. Yeah, I don't care who it is, family, friends, loved ones, ministers, you know, whatever their name or whatever their spirituality or whatever they are, whatever they've done. I want to be that one.
Amen.
I want to be that one that finds grace in God's eyes. You say that's selfish, Brother Nathan. No, that's a seed down on the inside that knows where it came from.
Amen.
I don't believe it'll just be one, but he said it'll be a small number. He said now, he said the church may be a number, but he said the bride will just be a few.
Amen.
Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now this man typing the foolish virgins, eight went, and how many was it that went in the rapture? 1 to 8. My, a small number. He said these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. I want to be identified there.
Amen.
Perfect in his generation, and he walked with God. Brother Nathan, you think you can be perfect? This word perfect, we're going to go back and look at what the Hebrew word for it is. This word does not mean sinless. Noah was not virgin born any more than you or I. He came the same way that you and I did, a sinner, saved by grace, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. This word perfect doesn't mean sinless. It means complete, whole, entire, sound, wholesome, unimpaired, innocent, having integrity. Oh, my, how are we going to get there? The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not complete without him. I'm not whole, Brother Hoover, without him. I'm not entire. I'm not sound. I'm not wholesome or unimpaired or innocent. I don't have no integrity of my own. But with him, I'm perfect.
Hallelujah.
With him, I can stand identified like Noah. I'm perfect in my generation. I'm walking with God. Oh, my, why? Because he did it. He paid the price. Genesis chapter 6, verse 18. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. You see, he was establishing a token here with Noah, giving him a covenant. He said, it's not just for you, Noah, but it's for your family too.
Amen.
You can apply the token for your family too, Noah. He didn't say now, in Noah's day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth found grace in God's eyes. It said Noah found grace in God's eyes, but he gave him a token to apply for the rest of his family.
Amen.
He made a covenant with him for the rest of his family. He said, Noah, you apply the token, and the same faith that's going to lift you above the waters is going to lift your family above the waters too.
Amen.
And everything... And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep thee, them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. There it is again. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 32. We're going to go backwards just a little bit here. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth, or Japheth, depending on how you pronounce it. Brother Japheth pronounces it Japheth, and Brother Layton calls him Japheth, so I'll let them fight it out. Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, we're going to do a little math. I know Sister Julie's out of town this morning, and she can't help me, but you help me this morning. We're going to do a little bit of math, because I'm going to read you something from a commentator. And that Brother Branham doesn't say it exactly this way, but if we take what Brother Branham said and we do a little math, it comes out to equal exactly what the commentator says. Listen to this. Now, well, I'm just going to go ahead and before we read that and I scare you, I'm just going to show you the math a little bit this morning. Noah was 500 years old when he begats Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem was his oldest, and he begot him when he was 500 years old. Now, let's go over. I'm going to skip ahead. Let me see where I'm at here. I'm going to skip ahead to the end scripture here. And it says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month of the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Now, Noah was 600 years old when the flood came. He was 500 years old when he begat Shem. And Brother Branham and all these historians just said that he preached while he was building the ark for 120 years. So that means he was 480 years old when he begins to build on the ark. The building, this is from Alfred Edersheim again. The building of the ark commenced when Noah was 480 years old. That is before any of his three sons had been born. In fact, just 20 years before the birth of Shem. Thus, the great faith of Noah appeared not only in building the ark in the midst of a scoffing and unbelieving generation, and that against all human probability of it ever being needed, and 120 years before it was actually required, but in providing room for his sons and his sons' wives while as yet he himself was childless.
Amen.
This man, 480, we talk about Abraham. This man was 480 years old, Brother Hoover. And God comes and speaks to him with an audible voice and says, Noah, prepare an ark because I'm going to destroy the whole world. And I make room for you and your sons and your daughters-in-laws. He said, I don't even have any sons and daughter-in-laws, Lord. How long is this ark going to take? I'm going to have sons and daughter-in-laws. Is it going to take 20 years? He said, no, a little longer than that, Noah. Prepare it for them. Make preparations. But I don't even have them yet. Doesn't matter. Make preparations. They're coming. Not only are they coming, but they're going to be saved. Not only are they coming, but I've already made a covenant with them before they were born because they're a part of you, Noah.
Hallelujah.
And then we worry and we get stressed and we give up and say, well, look at their fruits. They're backslid. They're doing this. Oh, no. Don't you give up. Don't you ever give up. Don't you ever stop praying. God made a covenant with you. It's not to you only, but it's unto your children, unto their children, and as many as are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Hallelujah.
He gave us a token in this age. Brother Branham said if the Philippian jailer could believe for himself, he could believe for his house also. Don't leave that in the pages of the Bible for a man in Philippi that was a jailer, but bring it right down and apply it to your home this morning. If Noah could apply it before he even had a child and apply it not only for him, but for his children and his daughter-in-laws that hadn't even been born yet either, with a covenant from God without any scientific proof, without a photograph, without a video clip, without an audio snippet. And he said, I believe, Lord. And not only do I believe, but I'm going to put it into action. I'm not just going to give you lip service and say, I believe God sent a prophet, but I'm going to put into action what the prophet said. I'm not just going to say, well, that's good, Lord. I appreciate you thinking of me, but I'm going to put it in action. I'm going to get my saw, and I'm going to get my hammer, and I'm going to go out, and I'm going to work just as hard as I can. Must have been a lonely job, 20 years. What you doing out there, Noah? Building an ark for my family. For who? You and your wife? No. Me and my three sons and my daughter-in-law's crazy old man. Poor, crazy old man. Doesn't even have any children. And he's building an ark. Hey, it's not just for them. You want to come too? There's plenty of room on this boat. God gave me the dimensions. I figure we can fit the whole village and a few more villages. And oh my, there's plenty of room for everybody. Come, whosoever will, let him come.
Right.
Building out there, day after day in the heat. Hebrews 11 verse 7 said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Not only was the ark not seen yet, not only was the rain not seen yet, even his own sons and daughter-in-laws were not seen yet, but being warned of God of things not seen yet, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Oh, start preparing, somebody. Start making preparations. Don't wait till it's too late. Prepare now. Now is the day of preparing. He says, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Here he is preparing out there day after day. Halley's Bible handbook says that the ark was the largest ship ever built until 1858, when the 669-foot-long Great Eastern was built. 4,000 years later. Takes 4,000 years. Rome, Greece, Babylon, all these great nations never had a boat like this. And this man wasn't a shipbuilder. He wasn't a designer. He didn't need to be. God had already gave him the blueprint. He was just a simple farmer. God says, go and build. And he goes and he starts making preparations that would be unrivaled for 4,000 years. And he goes out there now. He could have did like a lot of us and looked at the blueprint and said, Lord, now wait a minute. I just don't understand. Now, I see the size of mine. It's a mighty big thing for me and my three kids and that aren't even here yet, and my three daughter-in-laws that aren't even born yet, and me and my wife. We're going to have plenty of space. My, she can bring all the furniture and everything we own and all of our pets and everything. He said, you know, I've been preaching awful hard out here 18 years and no converts yet. They just stand around and make fun of me. We had a pretty good congregation when I started off, and the more time got on, the more different ones begin to fall away and say, well, the vision has tarried too long. It's not going to happen. And this one fell away and that one fell away. You remember, honey, sister so-and-so that used to attend, and brother so-and-so? Yeah, I know. They went back to their old church, or they went back to their old worldlyism, but we're still, you know, I don't understand it, honey, but if you say God spoke to you, I'm going to stand right there with you. Oh, my. And he begins to prepare, and he's working, and he's toiling, and he's doing all of this work, and he's sanding it down. He said, now, God, I just don't understand, though. I have a few questions about this blueprint. I noticed there's no steering wheel. There's no rudder. There's no sail. How am I going to drive this thing? He said, don't worry, Noah. You're not driving it. See, the problem is, you know, they sing that song, Jesus, take the wheel. That's the problem with our human mentality. We thought we had the wheel to begin with. Hey, man, there's no wheel. There's no rudder. You can't guide this thing. You can't. We try to figure it out. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. The Bible said you should say, God willing. God willing, he's the one with the rudder, he's the one with the sails, he's the one with the steering wheel. God willing, I'll do this, and God willing, I'll do that.
All right.
Genesis chapter 6, verse 22, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Oh, can we be identified there this morning? When we look into the pages of the Word, when we pick up our Bibles, when we turn on that tape, when we sit down and we read a book, can we do all that God commanded us to do? Investments, 1962. He said, I seen a little sign one time. I'm told about a man out in California had a big plate on the front of him here. It said, "I'm a fool for Christ." And on the back with a question mark said, "Whose fool are you?" So Noah was a fool in the eyes of the world in that day, for God's sake and for the word's sake. For the God's sake and for the word's sake, he was a fool. He would go out there day after day, sawing and hammering. My, we'll look at it tonight. I can't remember. I don't think I have it here this morning in this morning's notes, but I believe it was Matthew Henry in his commentary said, every sound of the saw and every strike of the hammer was a call to repentance. And those that were, we'll look at it tonight, those that were clawing on the side of the ark and trying to float in their man-made boats and trying to climb to the tops of the mountains and thinking maybe if we get up high enough, we'll escape it. They could listen in their memory, Brother Hoover, and they could hear. Get on the boat, somebody. Oh, my, he preached so he didn't have hardly any voice, 120 years old. Maybe his voice shaky and quivery. Maybe he couldn't hold the hammer and the nails straight anymore, and his sons had to kind of guide him along and help him. He said, somebody, just get on the boat. It's coming any day now. I just feel the presence of the Lord. And in this dark generation, I feel like he's impressing me. It's coming any day now. And that would ring back in their ears. Brother Bram said, one day, this voice that you hear on tape, he said, it'll come back in your ears in judgment. And you'll be left without an excuse to stand there and hear him say, come out of her, my people. And they said, well, it doesn't matter how you baptize. It doesn't matter where you go to church. It doesn't matter these things that Paul taught. He was just an old woman hater. And you know, Brother Bram said so many harsh things about Jezebel and things. They were just women haters. It don't matter. It does matter. It does matter. And that would come back, no doubt, as they were crying and screaming and trying to swim and trying to float and trying to climb. And they could hear the sound of the hammer and the sound of the saw coming back as a reminder. I gave you space to repent. I gave you space. I was long-suffering. Perseverant, 1962. There were some borderline believers that used to attend the meetings of Noah. Well, just like there is now, many people sit around all the time in the church, but they never make a move to come forward. Oh, listen to him this morning. Amen. This isn't Nathan Bryant. This is the prophet of the age. I'm reading his words. He said they enjoy hearing the pastor preach and something or another, but they never make a move forward. So then the first thing, they never want to put their hands into it so they'd be identified with it. Brother, I'm so glad to be identified with it. I want my credentials known that I'm one of them. The greatest honor I ever had to be identified with the people that's called crazy for the gospel's sake. Amen. He said, right. Amen. Oh, I know, sometimes we're called crazy. Even around the message ranks, people think we're crazy. Think we're out of our minds. But he said, the greatest honor I ever had to be is to be identified with a group of God's people that's called crazy for the gospel. He said they never want to make a move forward. It's one thing. They can sit there and listen to the voice of the prophet. They can listen to the tape and just let it go in one ear and out the other. They can listen to an anointed minister get up, some guest speaker or some pastor, and preach his heart out and say, oh my, we sure had a good meeting. It was sure a good shouting time. What was it about? I don't know, but it sure was good. And my, they hear the songs and they love to feel the anointing. They love to feel the presence and they love to feel the healing power of God come and restore their life and heal their body and all these things. But when it comes to making a move forward and saying, look, I'm serious about this thing. I'm serious, whether it's mommy, whether it's daddy, whether it's friend, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, whether it's people at my work, whether it's people at my school, whatever it is, I'll take a stand and be identified with the Lord's despised view. Amen. No, that'd be too hard. We might lose our popularity, might lose some friends, some family members might not understand. How will we stand compared to the martyrs? When they would take them out and feed them to the lions and burn them at the stake, but we're afraid somebody will unfollow us on Instagram or somebody won't go golfing with us or fishing with us or something. Oh my. I want to be identified with God's people. I want to be identified with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's look at this and we'll close. Sorry, I'm having technical difficulties again this morning. My timer's going off saying I'm out of time and everything. Brother Hoover, that's where you're supposed to say, bless him, Lord. He's been gone 3.5 weeks. He's out of practice. Identification, 1963. He said, if you lived in the days of Noah, it was in your present character, what group of people would you be identified with? Now think of it. What group? When here's an old fanatic standing up there on the hill that's been proven over and over for 120 years that he's out of his mind because he's absolutely predicting that there's water coming down from up there. And all their scientific instruments prove that it wasn't there. And because it didn't jive up with their scientific things, how could Almighty God ever do something that was against their own reasoning? See? And the man was talked about. He was the laughing stock of the time. Where would we be identified?
All right.
With the pressures of popularity? With the pressures of, well, you know, everybody is doing this now and everybody's doing that then? With the winds of doctrines toss us back to and fro, and maybe we'd attend Noah's services for a little while and sit there and, oh my, he sure is anointed, but I just don't know. My science teacher says, and this theologian over here says, and this philosopher says, and let somebody explain it away, or could we be identified with it? Amen. Let's read this again as the musicians come this morning. Didn't matter what anybody thought. Didn't matter what anybody said. It mattered what God said. And in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. The windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. That was just how long it rained. We'll look at it tonight, how long it actually was that the rain stayed on the earth before they was able to go out of the ark. Noah and his family, out of all those that could have came, but Noah and his family, God had elected. God didn't say nobody else can come in the ark. God left the doors of salvation open right up until the very end when judgment began to fall. But people didn't want to come. Didn't matter how hard Noah could preach. Didn't matter how anointed he was. Didn't matter how many times he said, God said, God said, God said. They still went on and did their own thing. They were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And Noah's family, can you imagine? Little baby being born of the house, and here he's already been building on this ark 20 years. Maybe he's got the frame of it done, and they begin to grow up, and as a little 5-year-old boy, he's teaching him Shem to hold the hammer, and now comes along Ham and Japheth, and he's teaching them to carry his nail pouch for him, and they're helping him on the ark, and they get older, and they're just raised in this, raised right in the message. Raised in it. Came up, all they ever knew was the ark. Maybe Shem could say, well, you know, Ham look over at him and say, I've never experienced the world. Maybe I'd like to go out and do this. And Shem said, don't you do it, Ham. Don't you do it. You know what God told Daddy? We better stay right with it. Well, I've just been raised in this my whole life. This is all I know, is just to be around the ark and go to church and hammer and nail and do this. You know, what if Daddy's wrong? Daddy's not wrong. God spoke to Daddy. Daddy was 480 years old, and he said we'd be here. Called our names. Said we were identified with him. Said our wives would be there, and that we would be a part of his heritage. And that he had made a covenant with Daddy. You better stay with it, Ham. Oh, you better stay with it this morning, young people. Amen. You say, well, I've been raised in it. I'd like to try this, and my friends do this. There's nothing but heartache down that road. Nothing but heartache and regret. And the enemy sitting on your shoulder saying you shouldn't have done this and you shouldn't have done that and you'll never make it. There's nothing down that road.
Right.
Nothing but misery and death and heartache. Amen. But another road is set before us. Another path that leads straight to the cross.
Amen.
Amen. Will you take that road this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as you anointed such a mighty prophet in that age to make preparations, Lord, and then in our age, you sent a prophet. Lord, it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for him to go about and take a stand against denominations, to take a stand when his own family members, as we looked at it a few weeks ago, his own mother and his own mother-in-law, his mother kicking him out of the house and his mother-in-law saying he belonged in an insane institution. Yet he stood faithful in his generation, Lord. Lord, may we make preparations as well. May we make preparations for our family, Lord. May we lay aside besetting sins and activities that would be unpleasing to you, Lord, that'll be a stumbling block to our children to drag them down. Lord, may we be aware, Lord, technology creeping in and being a stumbling block to our children. May we be aware of it, Father. May we take precautions to protect them from the things of the world, Lord. May we raise up a standard in our home and make, Lord, may we make plans like Noah did. May we make ready. Lord, we've got little ones coming up too. They'll follow in our footsteps. Lord, may we make the right steps. May we leave footprints on the sands of time for them to follow. May we make preparations, Lord, this generation coming up, if you tarry, Lord, to where they'll have a path that they can follow in, not to be wishy-washy and tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine, but may we stand for what's right with everything that's within us. May we stand for the truth. May we raise a standard for them to follow, Father. Help us, Lord, to make preparations. May we be identified with a godly man like Noah, that even though he was made fun of, even though he was called crazy, it didn't matter what they called him. He wasn't listening to what they said. He was listening to what you said, Lord. May we listen to what the Spirit has said in this age. May we listen to the Word. May our ears be attentive. Not our ears only, but our hearts, Lord. May we receive it. May we put it into action, Father. We love you, Lord. Be with each family that's represented here this morning. May they make preparations, Lord. May they apply the token to their home. May they kick out all the filth and things that would drag their children down, that would rob their victory, that would rob their joy, and would set a trap for them to head into more and more sin. Lord, help us to clean house. Be with us, Father God, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Oh, why don't we sing it together? You love him this morning? Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's sing it this way. Oh, and I'll never forsake you. Oh, I'll never forsake you. Oh, I'll never forsake. Sing it this way this morning. Let's stand together. Oh, to me, oh, he is so wonderful. Has he been wonderful to you this morning? Oh, to me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. That is why. Sing it together. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Like me.
love me.
Let's sing that chorus once more.
Yes, oh, oh, how I love Jesus, and oh, how I love Jesus, oh, oh, how I love Jesus. Teach me, Lord, to wait, Lord, down on my knees, till in your own good time, Lord, you'll answer my pleas. Teach me not to rely on
good to be in church, hasn't it?
Well, I'm feeling so much better talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better talking about the Lord. So let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it. We're talking about this good old way. Talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. I'm feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. It's better talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on. Talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it when we're talking about the Lord. So let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, no more crying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. Yes, soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. We are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah. We're going. God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. No more crying there. We are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. It's soon and very soon. We are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Yes, soon and very soon,